The Chris Farrell Show podcast is presented by Felix Savadas Mercedes-Benz of South Charlotte, Charlotte's premier Mercedes-Benz dealer and the Carolinas' number one volume sales leader. Over 300 new and 200 pre-owned vehicles always available. Visit mbcharlotte.com.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.
The Chris Farrell Show.
It sounds like the Braves were involved in a very exciting game. A little smattering of applause at the end. Remember Kirk Gibson? Remember that home run, Kirk Gibson hit, Vin Scully on the call. He was at bat for like 10 minutes and finally put one over the wall, and he hobbled around the bases pumping his fists. You remember I was sitting there watching it live. I was on television, but I was sitting there watching it live, and it's one of three moments where I would describe myself as just a screaming idiot running around my living room, kind of like Valvano looking for somebody to hug. That was one of the moments. Valvano and I were both looking for somebody to hug at the exact same time. He was on the court and I was in my house. But we were both looking for somebody to hug. Just, too bad we couldn't run into each other. That was one of the moments where I was a screaming idiot. Another was when Michael Jordan hit the jumper against Georgetown, his college career means a lot more to me so far as sentiment, being a follower, a real-time follower of his entire career. It's something special to be alive when certain people are also alive to do certain things and you can witness it. But it's even better if you are cognizant early on that what you're seeing is something very special and follow it throughout. Pay attention the whole time it's happening. Don't just learn it from the history books. Don't just look it up on YouTube. You remember. That's extra special. And pretty rare, because you got to make the right call. You got to spot a Michael Jordan early on. Of course, he was kind of hard to miss, wasn't he? He found it hard to miss. That was another situation. Little kid running around my living room screaming like an idiot. Like an idiot. But there was a third time. And there was no real regional connection. is simply a byproduct of how very exciting it was. It was magical. That was the Kirk Gibson home run, where he hobbled around the bases. It was more like a movie than any movie you've ever seen. Imagine if that had happened in an empty stadium. Would it have meant anything at all? Would people be watching it and talking about it? Oh, so many years later, I don't want to guess wrong. 30 years later. Just landed in empty stands. If that home run ball had just landed in an empty seat, got collected by an usher, probably returned to Mr. Gibson. We have a World Series in front of nobody. Seems like the right year for it. The World Series. There is nobody here. What? We start this off by inviting the whole world. How is there basically no one here? Toronto. Toronto's going to play their games in the Buffalo Bison Stadium because Canada won't let them play up there. We've been Mexicoed. Oh, my goodness, we got walled. Oh, my goodness. Canada is deporting star athletes to America. Don't let those guys have spent too much time in America to let them back over here. Oh, my goodness. We've been bordered. Oh, man. Ouch. Imagine Kirk Gibson's home run falling into an empty seat. Would it mean as much? Of course not. And if they want to play. I understand that you have obligations. But to have this even count, you know, like the 60-game seasons and stuff, that you're really going to treat that like the 2020 season? You're really going to say, no, it really, really was what passes for baseball season. It's exceptional circumstances, sure, but we're going to treat it as if it were just a normal season. There shouldn't be an asterisk by this season. This season should be tossed. This should be worked up to a series of exhibitions. I'm not even sure the stats should count. I mean, how differently do people play in an empty stadium? You think there aren't guys that are fabulous at practice that don't choke under the lights? Putting butts in the seats is part of how you find out who the great ones are. You can find out who has skill by watching them in an otherwise empty gymnasium or stadium. You can see who's fast by watching them run down the sidewalk. But what are they going to do when you line up nine other runners, the nine other fastest runners in the world? Okay, these were the guys that were quickest on their sidewalks. You think you're just going to be able to trust the times from the sidewalks? No, somebody's going to perform under the big lights, and somebody's going to choke. And that is an element of what separates skill from legend. You can't have a real game and have it look exactly like practice. I mean, don't teams run practices that way sometimes among themselves? Okay, second string, put on the visitor uniform. We're just going to scrimmage for a while. We'll stop along the way and coach as appropriate, you know. Didn't basketball all the time, you know. The first team would play the second team and kill us. But no, they just stop you along the way. You see that? That's a good way to keep it from getting too intense. So you see why it's a terrible idea to call it a regular season game, to call it real? Because removing the crowd is a perfect way to lower the intensity. If you want to coach, if you want to stop along the way and talk about how to do it better, let's move the people out so we don't have folks going, oh, come on, get on with the game, get rid of them, and that's what you got. So essentially, you have practice where the coaches aren't stopping to coach. That's the difference. And I don't know if that's the same sport. I don't know if those circumstances. Now, that could be a league all its own. ELB, empty league baseball. Let's see who does well when it's quiet, when you can hear the hum of the lights, a different type of pressure, like on golfers. I wonder who the best golfer in the world would be if golf crowds were like hockey crowds. Now, I don't want to go too far down Happy Gilmore Lane here, but there are different types of intensities, different reactions. And that's really funny because that seems to be a learned behavior. You know, somebody's about to try to sink a putt that would win the tournament. That's an exciting time. It seems like an appropriate time to jump up and down, but no, everybody's hush, hush. Very quiet. What if it were just so ingrained into the human condition that when you got excited, you had to react loudly? How different would that make a sport like golf? It's like, I'm sorry, but there are no fans if there is no cheering. They'd have to adjust to it. I wonder if really being able to concentrate when you practice would be as much of a virtue. You know, Tiger Woods' father would slam pans onto the garage floor and everything while Tiger was practicing his putt, just to try to rattle his nerves, just to work on the nerves of steel. Or, you know, I mean, he started training him when he was a kid. Maybe he says, well, by the time he's a professional, the way the world's going, you know, the Masters is going to look like Thunderdome. So might as well train him to putt with a little noise in the background. That worked. He's Tiger Woods. He's pretty good. Not bad. But the people are still there. You know, they're quiet, but they're waiting to erupt. You know, something like the Kirk Gibson situation. People are cheering and praying and waving hats around. They're not being silent for the pitcher and catcher to communicate with each other. There's none of that. It's a zoo. And the game is shaped the same. It's special because of the fans. Because of who is there to witness it. And who is there that will remember it for the rest of their lives? I mean, you can do it this way. You can obviously do it this way because they are doing it this way. But don't say it counts. Shouldn't count. It's last Sunday of the month before 6:30 news. I like to play something that's the reason for it is pretty obvious when you hear it. Means a little more to me this time, and I hope it blesses your heart. I love you, Daddy.
We've got a number we'd like to do for you, especially all of you sick and shut-in listeners, wherever you might be, if we never meet again this side of heaven.
Soon we'll come to the end of our journey, and perhaps we'll never meet again.
WBT, a radio.com station.
You are rejoining Chris Farrell on the Chris Farrell Show. Coming up on 6:39, a.m. on the East Coast of America. It is Sunday, July 26th. The year is 2020, and I'm awfully glad you're here. Did I hear in the sports report that pro sports will be piping in fan noise to, quote, make it seem more natural? How is the sound of 50,000 ghosts natural? I knew nothing of this when I went on and on and on last half hour about the need for fans in the stands for a game to be real. You know, when you got together with your friends and it was just you guys playing a game. You know why we don't keep track of that 40 years later? Because everybody there was a participant. If you don't have a crowd, then it's just a bunch of guys getting together. I mean, this doesn't even rise to the level of church league softball if there's 50 people there to get wrapped up in the result. When there's no crowd cheering you on, it might come down to your personal mood as to how much you're even concentrating on the game. There's no one there to keep you honest in real time, because fans can sense a slacker. And they don't appreciate it. Coaches can too, but what are they going to do? There's no fans. I mean, there's no one to blame. There's too much on the line to do nothing. Too many obligations. And there are folks that would rather have this to watch than nothing. But piping in fan noise? Couldn't you get in trouble for that back when there were actually fans? Is it going to be situationally appropriate? The fan noise? If the visiting team is fourth and one, are they going to crank the fan noise up to 11? Or is it just going to be like a record? Is it just going to be a recording of ambient fan noise? Because that's going to seem pretty weird when somebody hits a home run. The crack of the bat and the same, you know, sort of white noise mutter just before the pitch. You can't do this right without putting someone on the switch, you know? You got to have someone who has a good sense for when to turn the crowd noise up, when to, you know, throw in a boo if it's boring. Low scoring games. Do you have a boo button? Is it all positive noise? Is it all cheering like, yay, something good just happened? Do you have a sample of 50,000 people booing and throwing garbage and screaming how bad you stink? I mean, you want to make it more realistic, right? So do you have that audio? That's kind of cool. It's a funny thing. It's unrelated. Just fell from my brain out of my mouth. It's about to. I will always remember this is a bad idea. Because of who? Okay, we're talking a sports-related story. And a mind game might be a bad idea because of who am I talking about? Yeah. The owner. I swear to you, the Charlotte Hornets, and if they still have this, they got to get rid of it. They had this bee noise. Hornets, you know, I get it. They would play it when the Hornets were on defense as if to disrupt the offense. And it was just an annoying zzzz. You've probably heard it. When Michael Jordan, when the owner came to town, he became the bee. We thought we were so cute. Oh, we're going to get in his head with a little bee noise. And Michael Jordan's like, oh, it's going to be like that, huh? Oh, okay. Okay. At that point, it became personal for me. You hear him say that. You watch any doc on Michael Jordan where they actually have access to Michael Jordan, he'll say that three or four times in three or four different stories. At that point, it became personal to me. We'd start up this bee sound, this buzzing. And it was clear to me that Michael Jordan had become the bee. He was the bee with the ball. He was going to sting us. And you knew when he stung us because the buzzing stopped. And I watched one game where he worked us like that for the entire stretch. I'm sitting there after like 2 or 3 minutes. Turn off the bee. Don't you see what's happening? But the boss said, play the bee when the Hornets are on defense. So just keep doing it all game long. Just keep up the stupid. we lost this particular game. So I'm saying, if you're going to have somebody piping in crowd noise, if that's the thing, you got to have somebody at the switch. You have to have somebody who will react the way a fan would react with access to a mechanism that will make themselves sound like many fans. You can't just put on an LP, great crowd noises of the 1960s, or so. You're not going to be able to get away with that. For God's sake, no bees. Gee whiz. Piping in fan noise. Someone told them that was a good idea. Someone told the people in charge that that was a good idea. And the people in charge agreed and mustered up the sound somehow. Are there people in recording studios right now making crowd noise samples? That's what it's going to be. It's not going to be white noise that's just sounds like a regular murmur of a baseball game or something like that. It's going to be somebody at a sample board, you know, push this button in case of a home run, you know. Quarterback sack, you just write that right on the button, Like at fast food places, they have pictures of the food on the cash register. This could just have, what are they called? Onomatopoeias, words that sound like what they are. The best example is the cards that would pop up during Batman fights. You know, pow, boom, zing, kapow. You know, you just have little onomatopoeia buttons and make it sound natural. Piping in fan noise. That's depressing. Who is that for? Is that for the players? Because, I mean, I can understand. It's just flat out depressing. I mean, you're overhearing the other dugout, you know? Yeah, they're having more fun than us. We're winning, but they clearly get along with each other a lot better. I'm going to go hang out in that dugout for you. You can't. We're on television. Oh, what inning is it? last Sunday of July. All righty. The year 2020 is doing a fair amount of damage. But it does seem to be moving rather quickly. Maybe it's just the age. Maybe it's the adrenaline that comes with being around so much breaking news. Adrenaline certainly seems to speed up relative time, if you ask me. It's like 2020 is a tornado and America is its trailer park. That's what it feels like is going on right now. But I'm wishing you good health. There's nothing more important. And that is the story. That's the story I've been cheerfully avoiding. It's the thing you hear about all the time. Of course, we'll touch on it next hour. We have a responsibility as an agency here to disperse the news. I would like to emphasize, however, that you as the listener, especially on this lovely Sunday morning, you are under no obligation to wallow in the news. It is coming up on 6:55. We've got another hour together. Jeff Atkinson with headlines is Chris Farrell on WBT.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 Central on CBS.